Heavenly Father, truly you are our strength, strength like no other. And that strength is reaching to us. God, it comes to us in all kinds of trying times and trying situations, but it always reaches to us. It always enables us. It always encourages us. And for that, we thank you. And for that, God, we praise you. Now, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross. God, that you would speak through my mouth and think through my mind. God, let it be all of you and less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed. Let no one's coming or watching be in vain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. With your Bibles in your hands or your phones, would you just repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. First thing we want to show you on the screen, it's another Happy Mother's Day announcement, but there was something in it that I seen that will help me shift into my sermon. So as it plays, you might have to push it again. Go back just one more, and then click on the inside of it, and then it'll come up. Just skip to the title. The title of the message is The Power of the Womb. The Power of the Womb. What I was going to show you, it came up and it said mom, and then it had flipped the letters of mom to the bottom and flipped them upside down to where they spelled wow. So if you look at the word mom and you flip every letter upside down, it spells wow. And I got to thinking, what makes a mom so special? What makes her such a wow factor? And it is the power of the womb. One thing that women have over us men is they have the ability to incubate something on the inside of them. They have the ability to allow life to be formed on the inside of them. It is a miracle that a human being can carry another human being inside of them, or an animal can carry another animal inside of them, and it is the power of the womb. And when I think about that, I think about it in spiritual terms, because in natural terms, men cannot carry or incubate anything inside of them. That's only relegated to the woman, or the man with a womb, woe man. And so it's only relegated to the woman. However, in the realm of the spirit becomes our womb. And we can incubate and we can grow anything inside of us. You can grow dreams. You can grow hopes. You can grow businesses. You can grow music aspirations. You can grow athletic aspirations on the inside of you, because in the spirit nature, we all have the female and the male operating inside of us, because God is both male and female, and we're created in the image of God. And so we have to understand the power of the womb. knowing that things can grow inside of you. Now, in this time of quarantine, this time of sheltering in place, this is not the time to be idle. This is the time to allow things to grow inside of you. So whenever things change on the outside, you won't come back on the outside like you were when you first went in. There ought to be something changing. There ought to be something growing in you. There ought to be something germinating in you. The seed should be attaching to your head. And something should be sprouting in you because of the power of the womb. Let me stay there just for a minute. I don't know much about this because I've never done this. Sister Sharitha would know more about it, and you ladies watching at home would know more about it. But I do know when you're carrying something in the womb, it changes your appetites. It changes your appetites, and it also changes what you can intake, because no longer are you intaking just for you, you're intaking for whatever is growing inside of you. And when there is joy growing inside of you, the depression won't taste right anymore. You won't crave it because you've got something else growing on the inside of you. Fear can't taste the same when faith is growing inside of you. When you have peace growing inside of you, confusion can't be the same. Your cravings will change. Your actions will change. Your attitude will change, all because of the power of the womb. And I want to know, what are you carrying? What's growing inside of you? I hope it's some love, some joy, some peace, some long suffering, some gentleness, some meekness, some temperance, some faith. I hope hopefully some praise is growing inside of you. The idea to give is growing inside of you. Some determination is growing inside of you, all because of the power of the womb. So that makes me say wow to every mom, because you were able to carry something and birth it out. Not every person that carries is able to birth it out. There are things that are miscarried. There are things that are aborted. And if you are a natural mom, that means you brought some things full term and it came out on the other side. And spiritually, it's time to bring some things full term. You may have to go into labor. There may be some labor pains. There may be some cramping. Your water may break, but it's time to birth something out. It's time to produce something. It's time to bring some things forth in this season. In this decade, it's time to bring some things forth because of the power of the womb. All right, now that I've set that up, let me tell you that we're going to go from Proverbs 31. I'm going to paint from that canvas. I'm going to paint from Proverbs 31, but I don't want to just go straight through the verses. I want to take it randomly and put it randomly in the points and the places I want to put it. So I'm using it as my backdrop. And so whenever you see that pink there, you're going to see a verse from Proverbs 31. But I have some other verses I want to incorporate in, because I want both male and female to be able to enjoy this. I also want females who have not birthed, who are not mothers, I want them to be able to enjoy the sermon as well, because spiritually, we all have the ability, we all have a womb, and we all can produce. So this is going to go both naturally and spiritually. So when you look at the word womb, spelled W-O-M-B, I'm going to use it like I normally do as an acronym. So put up the womb in the abbreviated form. So we have W-O-M-B. And like I always do, I'm going to spell that word out, and those will be my points. W-O-M-B. W-O-M-B, womb, the power of the womb. So let's look at Psalms 139, verse 13. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." This is interesting, because even naturally, what the psalmist is saying, that God's hand goes inside every mother's womb and begins to weave and knit and sew and create and fashion and form the human being. When the human being first comes out of sperm form into the egg form, they move into what they call an embryo. But in that stage, God is working and God is knitting. And spiritually, whatever you have in your womb, it cannot be born without God's hand coming inside and begin to fashion things. That's why you will have it one way in your head, but in your spirit, it'll be another way, because God puts his hand down and begins to work in your inward parts. That's why you can't act like you always used to act. As you mature and as you grow, things change. You don't get mad at the drop of the hat like you used to. You don't flip out like you used to. And it's not because of you, but God puts his hand down in the womb and begins to work in the inward parts of who you are and begins to put things together. I've got scriptures in me I didn't even know I remember because God's hand is in me. His spirit is in me. Not just on me, his spirit is in me, and it's working things, it's creating things, and that's why all things work together for the good, because his hand is inside my womb, his hand is inside my spirit, his hand is inside my psyche, his hand is inside my belly, and he's working things, he's tying things together, he's fashioning things, he's buttoning things up, he's sewing things, so I'll be just what he wants me to be. Now, what I love about God, God is a surgeon, but every other surgeon has to work from the outside in. God is the only surgeon that can work from the inside out. When you don't look like it, when nobody knows it, God's doing surgery on you. Don't give up on me. Don't kick me out of the church. Don't throw me out of the church. Don't kick me out of heaven and send me to hell because I don't look like God's working on me, but God's doing a work in me. The outer man wastes away, but the inner man is renewed day by day. He's working in my inward parts. So that brings me to point number one, which is letter W, and that is worthy. We have to understand our worth and our value. Now, naturally, God is saying that he works on you when you're in your mother's womb. And so that gives you worth. Not how you look when you came out, not who you were born to and how wealthy they were, not if you went and got a degree, not what car you drive, not what house you live in, not if you have a Gucci belt on and a Gucci shirt and red bottom shoes. All those things are nice and lovely, but they do not give you your worth. Your worth comes from the fact that God fashioned you while you were yet in your mother's womb. And put destiny on you and put hope in you and put a goal that he has set before you. That's what gives you your worth and your value. Now you have to learn that. You have to know that, or else you'll be like me and look at your ears and say, oh, my ears are too big and too pointy to be worthy. My head is too lumpy to be worthy. But in my older years, I've got some confidence, not in my looks, but in my God. And I'm worthy because of my God. And not only did the fact that he made me, but one day down the road, he saved me and he washed me and he filled me with his precious Holy Ghost. And I still have a mighty burning fire, and every now and then I'll speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and that's what gives me my worth and my value. Don't get it twisted. Don't be confused. The world will give you all kinds of reasons to make yourself worthy, but you're worthy based on God. And now, having said that, we're going to follow up the next scripture that the psalmist says in Psalms 139 and 14. He says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. The King James says, marvelous are your works, and my soul knows it very well. When your soul begins to understand the worth and the value that you have, you only have one response: God, I praise you. See, I'm not looking at somebody else. I'm not comparing myself with Essence and JB and Draylen and Dylan and Sharitha and everybody watching by the phone. I'm not comparing myself with you. I'm praising God because what he did for me. Yeah, you may look better than me, and you may be smarter than me. You may have more scriptures learned than me, but that doesn't deny my worth. I know who I am, and I'm going to praise God for what I got. I'm going to praise God for the little money I have. I'm going to praise God for the roof over my head. I'm going to praise God for the clothes over my back. I'm going to praise God for the food I put in my mouth. I'm going to praise God for the family I have. I'm going to praise God that I'm loved. I got a reason to praise God because I've got worth and I've got value, and it's connected to my God. And if we could ever teach and tell a dying world that, they wouldn't run from the church. They'd run to the church, showing them that their worth is tied to that cross, is tied to their Savior and their God. Let's look at Proverbs 31 and 10. Scripture says it this way. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In other words, you can take material things and take some of the best material things, but if you have virtue growing in your womb, you rise above all the material things that the world can offer, whether it's gold and silver, whether it's diamonds, whether it's rubies. Your virtue causes you to rise up. One scripture said wisdom is better than rubies. So if you have virtue growing inside of you, if you have wisdom growing inside of you, if you have the Spirit of God growing inside of you, that makes your worth and value skyrocket. Here's something you got to understand. When the Dow and the stock market goes down, I can still go up because my worth is not based on outside things. It's based on inside things. Let's look at Proverbs 31:17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. When you understand what you have inside of you, your dressing is not just based on natural clothes and the latest clothes. See, I can look good in a Goodwill suit or in an Armani suit because it's not the suit that makes the man, it's the man that makes the suit. You can look good in a Goodwill blouse or a Saks Fifth Avenue blouse because it's not the blouse that makes the woman, it's the woman that makes the blouse. And so what this woman says, she dresses herself with strength, not just with outside things. Nothing wrong with the outside clothing, but she makes sure she dresses herself with strength because she wants to dress herself with something that matches her worthiness. See, I can't put weakness on me. I can't get draped in weakness. I can't be in the mirror putting on makeup but also talking down about myself. I'm putting on makeup but saying I ain't no good. I'm putting on eyelashes but I'm saying I ain't no good. I got my nails done but I'm talking bad about myself. No, you're dressing yourself in weakness. Don't you dress the outside and not dress the inside. Dress the inside and tell yourself, I'm strong. I'm a child of God. I will bounce back. I will make it. I will not die like this. I will not throw in the towel. I am the head and not the tail. Dress yourself with strength. Let's look at verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. I understand this is talking about her material merchandise, but spiritually, you have to perceive that your merchandise is profitable. Somebody would die to have what you have. The peace that you have, there's somebody that has billions of dollars that would trade that in to have the peace that you have. Stop dumbing down who you are. You have to recognize and perceive and understand your merchandise is profitable. You are fit for something. You are fit for the prize. You know, in other words, really, you are the prize. I've been hearing ladies say that. I'm the prize. You got to tell yourself, I'm the prize. Another man can't make me the prize because I'm the prize. I perceive that my merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In other words, she works both day and night, but you need to work both day and night on your self-value and your worth. Don't let the sun go down on your worth and your value. You, in the middle of the night, you confess and you declare and you proclaim, make sure your self-talk is up, not down. Don't you degrade yourself. This is not the season to degrade yourself. This is not the season to be having a pity party. This is the season to say, God, how am I going to come through this? Something is shifting. The world is shifting and the world is changing. I was in the back, and when things turn around, I might be in the front. So I'm getting myself ready. I perceive that I am profitable. I perceive the next time I launch the business, it will work. I perceive the next interview I go for, I'll get the job. I perceive the next man will make me his wife. I perceive I am profitable. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also and praises her. Guess what? Once you recognize what you have, the people around you start recognizing what you have. It's interesting that oftentimes the people who devalue you the most, number one, is yourself. Number two is your family. But when you learn to value you, it's something. It sets a tone. You tell people how to treat you. You tell people how to respond to you. So when you set the tone, your children rise up and call you blessed. Your husband also praises you. Your boss boss praise you. Your pastor notices you. Your neighbor notices you. The mayor notices you because you've learned how to call yourself profitable and understand you are worthy. Amen. Proverbs 31:29. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. It's talking about many natural women. Many women have done great things, but when you tie who you are and lock it into the spirit, you surpass them all because you're not going off of your energy. You're going off of the energy of God. Now my Cadillac, I like it, but one thing I've noticed, it cannot run without gas. It can be cute and parked, but it will not go anywhere unless it's tied into a source of power. Same thing with you. If you want your dreams to go somewhere, if you want your worth to skyrocket, you got to get hooked up to the source of power. You got to get a fill up. You got to tell God, fill me up till I overflow. So you can surpass them all. You can surpass every obstacle, every demon. You can surpass every setback. All right, let's go to verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. He throws something in. This Proverbs writer throws something in that the manipulation of charm, that ain't good because it can deceive. And the beauty on the outside is vain because beauty fades. I don't know about you, but pounds show up when you don't want pounds to show up. Wrinkles pop up when you don't want wrinkles to pop up. Hairs and moles and pimples pop up when you don't want them to pop up. So you can't put all your stock on the outside. You got to put most of your stock on the inside. So fearing the Lord is what causes you to be praised. It's what causes your worth and your value to rise. Let's look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. When you begin to start doing works based on your worthiness, not working to be worthy, but working because you're worthy, then your works will praise you in the gates. In other words, people will notice you even when you're not trying to be noticed. Have you ever met somebody that has the it factor? They don't have to be saying anything, doing anything. They don't have to be wearing anything flashy. They don't have to be driving anything flashy, but it's something about them that catches your eye. It's because they know who they are. Their worth and their value causes their works to be praised. All right, let's look at the next one, which is O. O is for opens. So W is worthy. O is for opens, and we're talking about the womb. And so when you are working on growing what's inside of you, it causes you to understand your worth and your value, but it also opens things for you and it causes you to be open. If you still are closed off and so guarded because you've been hurt, then you're not growing the right things, because when you grow the right things, you begin to open up. It's just like a flower. If you feed it right and you water it right and it has the right sunshine, that flower will open up, and it's time for you to open up if you have the right thing on the inside of you, growing in you. Proverbs 31:8 says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. One of the things that happens when you know you are worthy, you don't just use your worth for you, but you open your mouth up for other people. One thing I'm noticing is that the young man who seems to be shot because he was jogging, people are opening up their mouth and saying, I don't like this, both white and black. It's time for us to understand, when I understand my worth and value, I understand the worth and value of every human being. And no human being should be able to kill another human being just because they have a whim and idea. I don't like it when black boys kill each other in the street. I don't like it when white men kill black men in the street and women kill each other in the street, because when you understand your worth and value, you see everybody's worth and value, and it helps you open your mouth. I'm tired of people looking different colors doing the same crime but getting different sentences. No, I gotta open my mouth. Something's wrong with this justice system. I'm tired that me and you can have the same bank account and the same numbers, but when we go to the loan, they say yes to one and no to the other. I need to open my mouth. Oh no, I can't say anything. I'm just gonna let God. I'm just gonna pray. It's time out for praying and not working. It's time to pray and open your your mouth, when you understand your worth and your value, it opens you up and you will open your mouth for you, but mainly for others. Let's look at verse 9. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. God doesn't want to raise you from poverty just so you can say, I'm so glad God raised me from poverty. He raises you from poverty so you can turn around and open your mouth and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. It's funny, and I don't have time to get on this, but I'm going to take a Bishop Mitchell rabbit trail real quick. It's funny how they don't have money for poor people, but all of a sudden when a crisis hit, it's stimulus left and right, trillions of dollars. Well, I thought you didn't have any money. Well, we can't give y'all 40 acres in the mule like we promised you because we don't have the money. You have the money when you want to have the money. When you're afraid your economy is going to fold, all of a sudden the money come up. We got to raise and open our mouth for the poor and for the needy. Let's look at Proverbs 31 and 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. A real mama will feed her babies and babies in the neighborhood. It's just something like a real mama and a real mother's love. They'll divide it up so everybody gets to eat because it's something about her when she understands her worth and her value. She opens up for everyone else. Let's look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Nothing worse than a beautiful woman with an evil tongue. A beautiful, pretty woman, but her mouth is so filled with attitude and filled with negativity. But the Bible says this woman, this virtuous woman, who's growing virtue in her womb, who's surpassing because of her worth and her value, when she opens her mouth, she teaches with wisdom. And there's kindness in her tongue. It's nothing like a kind woman. I love me a good old grandma. A good old grandma. Can't barely talk but whisper, but just real kind. I done met some mean grandmas. I ain't talking about the mean ones. I'm talking about them good kind ones that just make you want to hug them and love on them because when they open their mouth, there's wisdom in their mouth. They know how to straighten you out without even you knowing you've been straightened out. And when you get home, you realize they done straightened me out, but they said it so nice and so sweet and so kind. Don't let the bitterness you've went through rest on your tongue. Oh my God, I wish I could tweet that. Don't let the bitterness you've gone through rest on your tongue. Every time you talk to somebody, you're biting their head off. Learn to grow wisdom and kindness and let it be on your tongue. How you doing this morning? God bless you this morning. Oh, that's a nice hat. Those are nice shoes. Oh, isn't the sun lovely? It's beautiful when you meet and bump into somebody who has kindness on their tongue. But you can't do that unless you're growing the right things inside your womb. All right, let's go to M. So we have W for worthy, O for opens, M for makes. In other words, creates. Once you are growing the right things in your womb, you can't sit idle. You begin to make. You begin to work. You begin to do. I've got three people I know who are making masks during this time. And I know there's more than just those three people, but they're looking at this crisis and say, there's something I can make. There's something I can create. There's something I can do. Let's look at Joshua 1 and 8. Joshua 1 and 8, as they put it on the screen, says this: this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that ye may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. No, the Bible doesn't say that God's going to drop money out of the sky. See, God's not a counterfeiter. So he's not dropping money out of the sky, but he will enable you to lock into the book of the law and help you make your way prosperous. Don't be lazy in this season. It's time to make something. It's time to do something. It's time to create something. It's time to dream something. It's time to think something. It's time to work. It's time to act. It's time to do. It's time to call your creditors and say, can you give me a lower rate? It's time to be vigilant. It's time to ask for discounts and ask for dividends. It's time to make a way. You don't know how much prosperity is in you if you don't make something. Sometimes you got to make some stuff happen. And one thing I like about women know how to make it happen. I don't have nothing but chicken broth, but I'm going to make the best chicken noodle soup you've ever heard of. I'm going to figure out a way. I don't have what I want, and I don't have what I need, but I'm going to make it happen. I don't have the money to shop like I want to shop, but I'll take something from this consignment shop and this place. I'll take an old scarf and put it around my waist and make it look like a belt. I'll beat out some earrings. I'll make it work. You got to learn how to make it happen. If y'all was in the building, I'd tell you to turn to your neighbor and say, make it happen, make it happen. You got to learn how to make some things happen in this season. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let me know there's a difference between good success and bad success. But when you're growing the right things in you and you begin to make things happen, you're going to make things happen from good success. We're not talking about manipulation. We're not talking about you manipulating people. We're talking about you working with God and making things happen. The Bible said we are laborers together with God. Let's look at Proverbs 31 and 22. It says she makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. She makes coverings for her bed, but she also has, she's draped and dressed in royalty. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land because she's making stuff for him, so she makes him look good. Some people tell me, Pastor Andre, I like you. You look good. I like your suits. I like the way you carry yourself. But you don't understand, my wife makes me look good. Really, I'm just her accessory. She's the one. I'm just like the purse that she carries. She makes me look good, so I'm respected. You got to make those people around you shine. Let's look at the next verse, to verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's not lazy. She's not watching days of her lives all day long. She's making something happen. Nothing wrong with watching days of her lives as long as it's not messing up your days and your life. You got to make some stuff happen. Put it on pause, record it, watch it later. Right now, I got to make some stuff happen. Don't watch Olivia Pope make something happen and you sit in your lazy chair with your nappy head and don't do nothing. No, make some stuff happen. You understand that right now, because of the age of Google, you can teach yourself stuff. You can go to YouTube and learn how to do stuff. I can't change my oil. Spend some hours on YouTube. You'll know how to change oil, change brakes, change everything. You can make some things happen. Let's look at verse 25. Before I go to verse 25, when you don't understand your worth and value, you always think, I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't do it. I need some help. Nothing wrong with having help, but there's some stuff you can do for yourself. Proverbs 31, 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. There are people who are anxious, more anxious than others during the quarantine. Because when there wasn't trouble and there wasn't a crisis, they didn't make anything happen. But she made things happen. She made things for the future. There's some stuff she did. There was some food already frozen. There was some stuff already put back. There was some summer food that she wasn't going to finish it all in the summer. So she froze it for a later date. She was looking ahead. She was making things happen. The crisis doesn't affect everybody the same way, because some people have prepared. They've made their way prosperous. Don't be caught off guard by every crisis that hits the land. And let me announce to you and make sure you understand, and I've been saying it in Bible study, this is not the last crisis we're going to see. We're going to see waves of crises. And those who are not locked into God and don't have the right stuff growing inside of them and aren't making things and aren't opening things and aren't growing on their worth, they're going to get swept away. But those of us who do know our God, Daniel 11:32 says, those who do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. We're going to explode. Your money going to explode. Your wisdom's going to explode. Your knowledge is going to explode. Your relationships are going to explode, because in trying times, you are already looking ahead and making things happen. Some of y'all are already looking beyond the crisis and figuring out, what am I going to make happen for 2021 and 2022? You're not stuck on somebody else's timetable. You're looking for the future. And that brings me to my last point of womb, which is behold. So W, worthy, O, opens, M, makes, and B, behold. And behold means to look. Look into the future. Look out. Look ahead. Don't look just at the here and now. As Christian people, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So we always should be looking forward, looking to the future. We always should be looking to heaven and looking back at the cross. I don't want to do anything that's going to cost me heaven. There's nothing worth in this world that'll make me cost heaven, because I've been growing some salvation inside of here. I don't want to mess that up. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't have time to contaminate that now. I'm looking into the future. Behold, let's look at Proverbs 31:27. Says this: she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she's not lazy. She's not waiting. She's not chilling. She's not waiting on the next crisis. She's not even waiting on the stimulus. She's already working. She's already looking ahead. She's taking care of her household. She's already doing things. It was amazing in this season, now that all these mothers are automatically now homeschoolers, they have to homeschool their kids. I'm amazed at how good my wife is at helping the kids with work and homeschooling, because before we were out of school, she was already doing those things. She was looking ahead, making sure. And I gotta apologize, I'm not good at that. When they don't know their math, it makes me mad. And when I don't know the math, it makes me mad. We all mad. I'm so glad I have a wife who can take care of the household. The Bible talks about husbands, and husband means it's one who bands the house together. He's a husband, but it's the woman that makes the household. Because I don't have anything to band together if I don't have a lady that knows how to make the household. It's a woman that can make a house into a home. And spiritually, you can make something out of nothing if you learn to look well ahead. Let's look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's seeking. She's looking for stuff. She's Googling and stuff. She's checking some stuff out. Ah, I'm not getting that today because it's probably going to go on sale. I've got some coupons. I done cut some coupons. I'm looking. I'm paying attention. I'm working with my hands. I'm seeking. I'm watching. I'm looking. It's so interesting that people who make it are people who prepare for the future. In this time, your prophetic eyes, I pray your prophetic eyes open up and you can see beyond the now and see into the future. You know, you get money for answering people's problems, and there's going to be some problems coming that the world has never seen, but you're going to already have an answer because you've been looking. And after you got done looking and seeking, you start working with your hands. And then when they come out and say, oh, we have this crisis, you're going to say, oh, I got this and I got that and I got this and I've got that. There was a man in a company who were building ventilators and building masks, and they had invested a lot, and it looked like the demand was down for what they were making. But they just took a chance and said, just in case, we're going to build some more and build some extra. And all of a sudden, the crisis hit, and here they are ready and got government contracts. And I'm not just talking about U.S. government. I'm talking about China called them. I'm talking about people all around the globe called them, because they were already ready. They were already prepared. They saw into the future, and they worked with their hands. Let's look at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She doesn't sleep when everybody else sleeps. She can't sleep when everybody is snoring. She gets up and starts making things happen. Begins, because she's looking ahead. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, but she's already at 3 in the afternoon. She's already got lunch prepared. She's already got what dinner's going to be. She's already looking ahead, and it makes her rise up early. Nothing wrong with getting your rest, but something in your spirit, in your psyche, ought to wake you up and say, I just can't sit here. I got something to do. There's something that can be happening right now. Let's look at verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. So when seasons change, she's already ready. She's looked ahead and she sees, oh, okay, it's springtime. So winter coats are getting ready to go on sale. So I'm going to snatch up winter coats. Well, you don't need winter coats. And by the time winter rolls around, your kid's going to be too big. No, I'm too smart for that. I'm going to buy a couple sides bigger. I'm looking ahead. I'm not waiting till crisis hit because I can behold. I'm worthy. I'm opening up. I'm making things happen and I'm looking. I'm beholding. This is 2020. This is still the year for vision. I'm beholding and I'm seeing. Now we're going to switch from Proverbs 31. I'm no longer going to be on Proverbs 31. I want to show us one other thing and then we're going to transition from this into communion. Let's look at John 19:25. Scripture says this. This shows you how important mothers are. Scripture says this, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Four women standing at the cross. He had 12 disciples, and out of his 12 disciples, only John was close at the cross. And that's why he was writing this, because he was there. He was the only man at the cross. All these other strong men, discipling men, Peter with his sword cutting folk off. Everybody ran away, but look at these women that were there. But Jesus' mama was there. It's something about a mother's love. I don't care if they're getting ready to lock my baby up. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at the court. I don't care if he done me wrong. It's something about a mother's love to say, I'm standing there in the end. I wish we had some folk that's loyal like a mama. Ain't nobody loyal like a mama. There's so many fake folk in the world, but when you got a good mama, she'll be by your side. You can mess up. You can do stupid stuff. She can be mad at you, but she won't never throw you away because a mother's love is far reaching. Let's look at verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Behold again, woman, look, there's your son. This is the point I want to make. It's something about the spirit of a mother that they don't only look at what is naturally theirs, or what naturally came from their loins. It's something about the spirit of a mother that will attach themselves to other people and love them. I'm so grateful for the mothers in this church. I'm so grateful for the women in this church. I have Joyce Mitchell as my mother. She birthed me and I'm so grateful for her, but I've had other mothers down through the year who have treated me like a son. I have older mothers and even younger mothers, even women who are close to my age, but there's a motherly anointing. I'm so grateful that Jesus saw the power of a mother and said, John, there's no need for you to be by yourself. And mama, there's no need for you to be by yourself. Mama, take hold of that son. Lock hold of him. And I'm so grateful that every church has some strong women that are mothers. You may have never birthed anybody out of your body, but you can have a motherly spirit. You can be a man and have a motherly nurturing spirit that causes people to say yes and feel good and feel safe when they're around you and feel close. And I can't wait for this thing to break so I can hug some of my mothers. Some of you mothers who are so great. It's nothing like a hug from Mother Rankin and a hug from Mother Mabel. It's nothing like a hug from Mother Mitchell and a hug from Mother Bacon. And some of you women, you're growing to be the same way. My children are looking at you the way I looked at those women, and they're looking at you and saying, oh, I feel safe around you. We can change a generation with this spirit of motherly love. Verse 27, then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Look, that's your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, let me say this to us who have seen these mothers do great things for us. It's time for us to reverse and be there for them, not just on Mother's Day. It's time for us to pray for our elderly women and pray for our wives and our mothers and our sisters and our aunts. They've gone through hell, especially when they're black. It's something rough being a black man, but if you're a woman, you're already behind. But if you're a black woman, you're that much more behind. And us men, we got to open our mouth for our women. Stop dogging them. Stop treating them bad. Stop having 10 girlfriends and lock yourself into one and treat her like the queen she is, like the African queen she is, like the Caucasian queen she is, like the Chinese queen she is, whatever kind of queen she is. It's time for us to take care of our mothers in this season. But this reminds me of the cross. And reminding me of the cross, let's transition right now into communion. our communion celebration. So hopefully you have grabbed your communion elements. I'm going to take the time to get the bread and open the wine. Today, as we take the communion, we're thinking about the love that Jesus had. The love. See, it was the motherly side of God that said, I'm going to give up my son so I can have a greater family. I've got one son, but I'm going to give up my son and say, son, die for them so I can have a family, so I can have my arms over you. Jesus said it before he went to the cross. He said it to the Israelites. He said, oh, how I wish I could gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't let me. But in this season, we're letting God gather us. We're letting God put his motherly arms around us and love us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:23. Paul says it this way, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The same night he was going to go to the cross. Do you understand? Jesus had a whole bunch of stuff on his plate, on his mind, but he stopped to have one last supper, one last communion with his disciples, because that's the mother's love. Verse 11:24, or 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's eat the bread. And we take this bread, and you take this bread for healing in your body. We curse coronavirus off of our bodies in the name of Jesus and every other sickness that attaches itself to us, because God's motherly healing is on us right now. Verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink the cup. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. As we drink that blood, it reminds us of the forgiveness of sins and the great love God has for us. And our final verse, 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Why would we be showing his death? Know what we're doing. We are showing Satan that Christ died for us. There's nothing you can do to us because Christ died for us. And so when we take the bread and the blood and the cup, we are showing the Lord's death. Let's transition into prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We magnify you and love you. You are both Father and Mother to us. You are Father, Mother, and Son. The Father is God the Father. The Son is Jesus the Son. But the Holy Spirit is that motherly one that takes care of us. And we're so grateful. Now, God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice who does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins, I pray that they would pray this prayer, just like a mother looking down saying, it's time to come home, son. It's time to come home, daughter. Father, mother, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Wash me. Clean me. I know you sent your son to die for me, my sins. And you sent your Holy Spirit, the motherly Holy Spirit, to nurture me and to fill me. And I accept it and I receive it and I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Once again, Deliverance Temple, happy Mother's Day. We say goodbye to you. God bless and God love you. The power of the womb. Amen.